Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
A teenager was sent by his mother one summer's day to pick a container full of fruit from the garden. The boy dragged his feet in rebellion, and the fruit picking seemed to go very slowly. Then an idea came to him. If he picked two containers of fruit for his mother, he would surprise her. So he then happily picked two containers of fruit, to the utter amazement of his family, and they never forgot this. When the boy was an old man, he said that throughout his life he had always remembered the lesson from it. We can change any situation by changing our attitude towards it. Our attitudes are very important. Our attitude of thankfulness to God is so needed for the whole of life. King Hezekiah of Judah had just been healed by God from his deathly sickness. God promised him 15 more years of life and gave him a sign that this would come true. The sign was for the sun to go backwards in the sky, an amazing sight seen in every country within the region. At that time in history, Assyria was the dominant world power, but the Babylonians were gradually conquering more and more areas of Assyria. Today's Bible Adventures drama starts in the court of the King of Babylon, as recorded in 2 Kings chapter 20.
Long live King Merodach-Baladan.
Your request for an audience stated that you have a very important discovery to report.
So I have, Your Majesty.
Proceed.
There are men in your realm who study heavenly bodies and the environment of air and earth in which we live, O King.
I know you are called wise men. But go on.
Now, this very day, Your esteemed Majesty, we wise men noticed an unusual phenomena, an impossible one, yet it did happen. But we know not how it happened or why. The sun, Your Majesty, went backward. Backward, mind you, for 10 degrees.
The sun went in that direction?
For 10 degrees, Your Majesty. Suddenly the shadows on sundials and elsewhere went backward.
Do you have any idea why or how it happened?
None, Your Majesty, unless for some reason a god of the sun caused it to happen.
Could it have been our sun god?
This we doubt, Your Majesty.
You say you came to seek my advice. How can I possibly help in this matter?
Oh, great and mighty King of Babylon, we wise men cannot rest until we have discovered how and why this impossible phenomena happened. We seek His esteemed Majesty's permission to send messengers to all parts of the world to inquire into the matter. Perhaps someone somewhere can give us an answer.
Permission granted. Let me know the instant you have an answer. You say that the God of King Hezekiah of Judah caused the sun to move backwards?
Yes, Your Majesty.
But he isn't even a god of the sun.
Hezekiah and his people claim their god to be the god of creation, with power to control everything. The sun, moon, stars, and the earth.
Are you a believer in this?
We wise men can find no reason to doubt it, Your Majesty.
Would that our sun god, any of our gods, had such power.
Perhaps that is possible, Your Majesty.
You think so? We could rule the world with such power at our disposal. You are sure whereof you speak?
Certainly, Your Majesty. It's at least worth a try.
Yes. All right, tell me. Tell me what must be done, and so shall it be.
Send ambassadors to Hezekiah, Your Majesty. Wise and experienced ambassadors. Priests with knowledge of gods. Officers acquainted with the ways of royalty. Wise men who have studied heavenly bodies. Princes. Together they will acquire full knowledge of this powerful god of creation, and bring back a report from Israel as to how Babylon can make their god our god.
An excellent procedure. Couldn't be better. It shall be done at once.
Long
Long live Hezekiah, king of Judah.
Good morning, wise men, princes of Babylon. You're ready, then, I assume, for a tour of Jerusalem.
Indeed we are, your majesty.
I shall personally conduct the tour, taking along my scribe, recorder, the captain of my household, to supply the details.
Long live his esteemed majesty.
Back so soon from Jerusalem? Did you learn about their all-powerful God and how we, too, may become his subjects?
We learned not a thing, your majesty. Hezekiah was so busy bragging about himself and his works and showing off his wealth that he had no time nor desire to tell us about his God.
Perhaps it is just as well. From the first, I have doubted that there is any God powerful enough to turn back the sun. Now I know of an assurance there isn't. We will continue to worship and trust in our own gods.
Meanwhile, back in Jerusalem, Isaiah the prophet appeared before Hezekiah.
O king, hear the words of the Lord. Because thou didst not show the ambassadors the might and wonders of the God of thy fathers, behold, the day cometh that all that is in thy house shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, and thy sons shall Babylon carry away, and they shall be servants in the palace of the king of Babylon.
Not to glorify God did I do this, but to exalt myself. Pride and vanity took possession of me. Self-exaltation was my undoing. Good and just is the Lord's pronouncement against me.
King Hezekiah was given three tests. When he had to defend Jerusalem from the Assyrians, he trusted in God. When he became very sick, he prayed to God. But when given a third test, as found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 39, King Hezekiah failed miserably. He exalted himself after being flattered by visiting Babylonian princes. They'd heard of his sickness and had brought him a present. Hezekiah now had a false confidence in himself and his position after God had given great victory over the Assyrians. One of life's lessons is that if Satan cannot succeed as a lion, then he'll come as a snake. We need to keep our guard up against his attacks at all times. Hezekiah had an opportunity to tell the learned men how God had healed him. He could have given God the glory that was due to God alone for this, but he didn't. Just where was his attitude of thankfulness for his extended life? In Isaiah chapter 48, God himself says, "I will not let my name be dishonored or let anyone else share the glory that should be mine and mine alone." Hezekiah never realized that Babylon would be the next world power, or that he was really showing his wealth to the nation's future enemy. In Proverbs chapter 27 it says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." The king of Babylon wanted to enlist the help of Judah in opposing Assyria, just as they had gained help from the Medes. We need to remember that our enemy Satan is a liar and uses every excuse to get entry into our lives. King Hezekiah acted foolishly when he allowed his possessions to become between himself and God, and now his wealth had become his idol. In our society these days, a person's worth is usually judged by their possessions. Since we who trust in Jesus belong to God, all we own does too. We must keep our possessions dedicated to God's purposes and for his kingdom. After the ambassadors from Babylon had gone back home, the prophet Isaiah visited Hezekiah and told him that Babylon was Judah's real enemy. One day Babylon would conquer Judah. Instead of repenting and turning back to God, Hezekiah was relieved that the punishment for his sin would not come in his own lifetime. What sort of legacy was this for him to leave for Judah and his son Manasseh? He sold out his people's future by his actions. Decisions we make today can affect other people in coming years. Pray for wisdom to do the right things, always. A pastor and his family moved to a new church in a small town to preach God's word. During the first week, the pastor needed to go into town, so he caught the bus. When he took his seat, he noticed that the bus driver had given him a small amount of change, more than he should have been given. The pastor cast around in his mind what he should do about it. It wasn't much, he reasoned. But nevertheless, when he was about to get off the bus, he handed the extra change back to the bus driver, saying he'd been given too much. The bus driver said, "You're the new minister in town, aren't you?" When the pastor nodded, the bus driver admitted that he had tested his honesty. The driver then said he'd see him in church on Sunday. The pastor left the bus. He was so dazed that he held onto a lamppost. He had nearly sold his witness for the Lord Jesus in that town, just for a few cents. There are no shortcuts to godliness. We must spend considerable time studying God's word, for it is only then that we can reflect the character of God. The source for our wealth should be spiritual and not large amounts of this world's goods. Our Lord knows a minimum of material things are necessary, but without them, life would be very difficult. Jesus didn't scorn things, but when things become the chief purpose for living and people work to get rather than to give, there's a danger for society and the people living in it. Every day on the plains of Africa, gazelles wake up with an instinct to run faster than the fastest lion or be killed. When the lions wake up, their instinct is to run faster than the slowest gazelle or starve. A famous preacher wrote about this, saying, "If you're not seeking the Lord, the devil is seeking you. If you're not seeking the Lord, judgment is at your heels." In the Christian life, we're called to run, to become more like Christ, and to press ahead in godliness and intimacy with God. A godly person has an unshakable confidence in God. As soon as there's a problem, the godly person leans on God, trusting him for everything in full humility. Like Isaiah, when someone you know has made mistakes, it's better to speak the truth in love and give wounds that heal. Have you ever done something foolish and greatly regretted it afterward? I think we've all done this at some point or another. We need to pray to God for forgiveness for our wrong attitude and sin. We can't take the mercy of God for granted. We must confess our mistakes and wrongdoing. We need also to pray for protection for those who may be harmed through our mistakes. We need to ask ourselves, what type of legacy are we leaving for the next generation? Each person, believer or non-believer, parent or non-parent, is leaving an example for those growing up to follow. Sometimes children see their parents' mistakes and vow that they'll never do the same thing themselves. But just like Hezekiah, they might pass some tests in life well, but at some point fall down somewhere else. Not only do we all need God's forgiveness for our sins and mistakes, but we may need to ask a person we've wronged for their forgiveness too. Sadly, not everyone will offer their forgiveness when asked for it. Some think they've suffered too much to forgive the wrongs against them. But an unforgiving attitude leads to anger, bitterness, and revenge. These things destroy a person's life in many ways. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, the Lord Jesus says, "If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Forgiveness is for our own peace of mind and will outwit Satan. In your prayers, ask God to reveal to you any past hurts that you may not have forgiven, and rejoice that Jesus has forgiven you of everything that has made you unfit for heaven and God's glory. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again: John, Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053, and the website bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.